Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prus. Today is a tape show, so we will not be taking phone calls. I have in the studio, in the purple padded room studio with me, I have Senator Dan Sullivan. Senator, how you doing,
David,
sir?
David, I'm doing great. Great to be back in Fairbanks, and great to be on the show again.
You're looking great. You're looking healthy. I can see Julie's taking good care of you.
Julie's going to be in town in a couple minutes, so.
Oh, man.
The Fairbanks girl's coming home.
You know, I always refer to you as a
lucky guy.
No, Julie. You're Julie's, you know, how do I explain it? Oh, you're the guy that married Julie.
That's right. I am a lucky guy.
But, you know,
last
week they had the military appreciation, and they finally got you the Jim Messer Award. You know, after everything you've been doing for the military in Fairbanks and Alaska, they finally said, you know, a retired Marine at that. They finally gave it to a Marine. Congratulations,
well,
sir.
Look, I was super honored. By the way, Fairbanks just does such a great job for our military. That is such a special event. By the way, I'm dealing with a little bit of hiccups, so I'm sorry if you can hear that. Not sure what's going on there. But the, you know, the Fairbanks community just comes out. There was almost 600 people there. Kudos to the chamber. And that is a great event, celebrating our military. I got to talk about the huge ongoing military buildup. But I was very honored to get that award. That award's from the chamber, from the military. There's been, if you look at the list, people have gotten that award over the decades. It's very flattering, and I was honored. But you know who really deserves that award, David, is the Fairbanks community. They are the best in terms of supporting our military.
You know, that's very true. It's a very close, tight, personal relationship. And I still remember that during the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, anytime we lost a service member that was stationed from Fairbanks, front page, it was you lost a member of the family. That respect was so given.
Well, and that dinner is so authentic.
Yeah.
The whole community comes out. The military comes out. It is just such a great event. So I was very honored.
How long are you in the state for? Because you've been traveling around the state with our landlord, the head of the Interior Department. That's a good person to show the state
we
to.
We got
Thank
Secretary
you.
Burgum here. I'm hosting them here in Fairbanks tonight. We got a great community reception tonight at the Pipeline Training Center. It's going to be a great event. I think we have about 300 Fairbanksans who have RSVP'd to see our landlord, the Secretary of Interior. I'll tell you, he is great. And it's Secretary Burgum. He's not just the Secretary of Interior. He's the chairman of the Energy Dominance Council. And we were on the North Slope last night, or yesterday, David. And I will tell you, the Alaska comeback is happening. We got challenges in our state, no doubt about it. But man, we were at Willow. We were at the Pitka project. That's going to be 80,000 barrels a day. I think it's first oil any day now. Willow, what our workers have done. You know, I was there a year ago. There was a gravel pad. Right now, a year later, it's a small city.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This is the Alaska worker. These are building trades.
And
just remarkable how well they've done.
And it all travels through Fairbanks.
All travels through Fairbanks, up the Hall Road, over on Ice Roads.
Yep.
It was built. There's like a giant wastewater and sewer facility. There's a fire department. I mean,
you know,
it's unbelievable what they've done. And they did it in less than a year. And think about it, in 50 below zero and dark. And this is a lot of our building trades. Many of which are here.
Experienced hands.
Incredible. And I'm just so proud of everybody who's making this happen. The secretary did a big press conference right there at NPRA. Live TV down in the lower 48, and the Alaska comeback's happening, and it's really exciting.
And that's what gets me. It's a renaissance, a resurgence, and I still remember the dark years of President Biden.
Oh yeah,
but I fear I fear the senator from New York becoming the Senate president, Schumer, and what may happen if that does happen.
Look, you are so right. We got the 70 executive orders from Biden to exclusively, singularly focus on shutting down Alaska. We're getting rid of most of those, right? We have this comeback. People say, what's the comeback about? It's the comeback from Biden. But to your point, David, it's the comeback from Schumer, too.
Yeah.
When he was majority leader, I have this handout. You know, I love these handouts, these one-pagers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're really good at telling a story. We have the last frontier lockup from Biden. That's a thing of the past. But the Schumer shutdown is what you are talking about, and we need to be concerned about it. The guy's the most anti-Alaska senator, probably member of Congress ever. He went through the big Working Families Tax Cuts Act that we got passed last year that has so many good things in it for Alaska. He went through that line by line to try to strip out everything for our great state. And look, that's unprecedented, just like the Biden lockup was. The guy has a particular animus towards Alaska Natives and Alaska Native corporations. And we've looked at his record. It is hundreds of votes, hundreds, that are against Alaska. So he's the most anti-Alaska member of the Senate in history. If he became majority leader, he would just be focused on shutting us down. And look, it's happening every day. Let me just give you a couple of very recent examples. I got this CRA, what we call a Congressional Review Act, passed in the Senate in December to rescind the Biden lockup of the National Petroleum Reserve of Alaska. One of the reasons we had this great NPRA lease sale is because we rescinded that Biden lockup. Schumer fought me on the floor just in December to encourage all his Democrat colleagues to vote against it, which they all did. And then, you know, we had that blowout lease sale in NPRA, our biggest one ever. We have a lease sale coming up on ANWR. I'm hoping it's in the law now. I'm hoping it's going to be a big one. But if it's not, one of the reasons it won't be is Schumer and a bunch of other Senate Dems put out a letter just last month to all the energy companies in America saying, don't invest in Alaska.
Yeah.
Don't bid in the ANWR lease sale. I mean, these guys are nonstop about shutting us down, and we got to fight them. I fight them every day. I beat them. But I'll tell you this, you know, my opponent in this upcoming Senate race, the first thing she would do, if elected, would be to vote for this guy to be Senate Majority Leader, the most anti-Alaskan guy ever. I can't imagine how that would help Alaska. It won't. It'll crush us.
That's what gets me about your opponent. You know, I'm a Fairbanks senator, I love Fairbanks. Fairbanks is the center of my universe.
I love Fairbanks.
I believe Fairbanks is a fantastic city.
My wife loves Fairbanks.
Yeah, she was born here, along with all of her sisters, mm-hmm. and her, you know, everyone. But when your opponent was the congressperson, she did not have an operating office in Fairbanks. And she treated her staff so horribly by making her work out of the house that after her staff quit, she didn't even replace her staff. So for half of her tenure, well, for her entire tenure, she disrespected Fairbanks. First time ever we don't have a congressional office here in the second largest city in the state. And she disrespects her staff, and she disrespects our city.
Look,
ask me how I really feel.
You know, I'm focused on the future, but that is a head-scratcher, right? I mean, my team and I were like, you can't shut down the Fairbanks office. Every senator, every member of Congress has always had a Fairbanks office.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you shut down the Fairbanks? I have no idea.
And you've had great staffers, Leslie,
oh,
Greg.
My gosh.
Greg,
Leslie, fantastic.
Greg got here early, and he's a good, great person, good friend. And I just got to spend finally in the last, you know, I got to spend 30 minutes unadulterated, just me and him just shooting the poop. And it was great. You know, he's such a fine person, and what he does for the state of Alaska, for you, is this incredible.
Oh, Greg is fantastic. And Leslie has been fantastic, and she's doing a great job for Nick Begich now.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We are not taking phone calls at the moment because this is a pre-recorded conversation, and after these commercial break, we'll be back with Senator Dan Sullivan. Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Dan Sullivan in the studio with me here. Now, let's go back to our landlord showing him around our state. That, I mean, he's up here with you looking at things that you're trying to get him to do for the state of Alaska, him and President Trump, and they're doing it.
Oh, they're doing it. Well, look, like I said, we were on the slope all day yesterday, Pitka. That's a huge state development that's going to be about 80,000 barrels a day. By the time this is airing, David, it should be first oil, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, so we were there, and then we were at Willow, and that's going to be all close to 200,000 barrels a day. By the way, again, that's an NPRA. Biden, Schumer tried to kill that, and we fought him, and we beat him. So, but... having Secretary Burgum up here is fantastic. And tonight in Fairbanks, we're going to be hosting a big community event for him, just to have all the Fairbanksons come out, meet with him, ask him questions, him and his team. But the guy's been to Alaska a ton already in his year and a half tenure as Secretary of Interior and the Energy Dominance Council Chairman. And he talks about the Alaska comeback all the time, and he talks about energy dominance for America has to go through Alaska. And look, this is not just great for our state in terms of revenues, in terms of workers, in terms of strong families. This makes America stronger.
You know, I like the personal way. You just don't bring up to look at what he's doing or what the Interior Department has available. But you bring him down to the personal things like Pat Pitney's retirement party last night, tonight's event at the Pipeline Training Center, where he's going to meet the local people that he impacts. And he can hear the thanks, the appreciation, the horror stories from past administrations.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be a great event tonight. Like I said, looks like we have a great turnout. And last night on the slope, he announced another executive order that they're focused on, which is to make permitting more rapid on the north slope, which is going to be great, again, for our ability to produce resources, create jobs. So we're honored that he's here. And look, he does other things here. I was just last week, I did a roundtable back in Anchorage on this very challenging, difficult issue of missing and murdered indigenous women. And, you know,
you were on a conference with that last week.
Yeah. And this has been a big passion of mine. It's, you know, a black mark, you know, across America that we have this challenge of Native women who've been murdered and missing. It was a focus of mine as Attorney General, as a focus of mine as U.S. Senator. But Burgum issued a big executive order just last week on we need to reignite our focus on this. So it's not just about oil and gas. It's about people. And, you know, in this case, Native women in Alaska and across America that, you know, you can't let that happen. It's something we need to focus on more. And he's been a partner of mine. I asked him to issue that order, which he did before this roundtable I did in Anchorage. And it's a topic that we all need to focus on. You know, we have a great state, but
we have our issues.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we're not great on is this high level of domestic violence and sexual assault, and we got to get our arms around that. You know, every Alaskan should care about that.
Yeah, you know, it's very painful, And but you know, through the pain comes thoughts,
yeah,
and ideas, and hopefully gains to help stop it.
Yeah.
You know, also, sadly, you retired from being a Marine. I know that, you know, darn, but, you know, you have to give up the
it hurts.
The blue suit sometimes, yeah.
It hurts.
But
30 years.
But if you look at Alaska again, you know, I grew up with the Soviet Union right across the radar there. And then, you know, glasnost and perestroika. And I was saying bull crap. It's that's a rival over there with the military.
You were right.
But now they're partnering with the Chinese to come up.
Well, look, you are so right. We have had another handout, and I'll make sure we can get on your website so everybody can see it. It was called the Adversaries in the Arctic.
Yeah.
And it's the big number of Arctic incursions into our airspace, into our waters by the Russians, by the Chinese.
Chinese sending balloons over Alaska and the United States and being shot down over North Carolina.
Balloons.
Oh, yeah.
But it's more than balloons. It's strategic bombers. It's naval task forces.
Yeah.
So we need to build up our military. I'm proud to have led the effort on what is now clearly the biggest military buildup in our state since World War II. It's billions. It's the Coast Guard. Of course, it's the Air Force. It's the Army. And then last week at UAF, we announced a long-sought goal of mine, which is getting more Marines up here.
Yeah.
And we had some top Marine Corps brass here. They were at the Military Appreciation Dinner.
How's that going to work?
Well, it's what they call a unit deployment program. So they bring up Marines to train here,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
They train all over the state, and they're training because we have great training. But they're also in Alaska, ready to deploy if the balloon goes up somewhere in Asia. They're here to go fight somewhere else, right? So, so that was exciting. And then they're putting a active duty unit that is what's called an Anglico unit. It's actually my old unit, six Anglico. It's like a recon battalion. They're going to put a detachment from 6 Anglico here that will be building out a reserve unit. So it's more Marines in Alaska, and I'm thrilled.
Wow.
More Marines in Alaska. I've been working on that for a long time.
You know,
I mean, we love the Army. We love the Air Force. We love the Coast Guard. But I've been telling my Marine, you know, hey, you guys are supposedly first to fight. Get the heck up to Alaska.
Yeah, my dad was a Marine, so it's always
I know
a special
he was.
Spot.
Now, I know he was.
Well, do you think...
We just need more Navy now.
Yeah, do you think we'll ever see a Marine Corps taking part in Red Flag, you know, the aviation?
That's part of this initiative, Dave.
Good.
It's part of this initiative, and they love it. And, you know, that is the best training in the world, right? Jay Park right here at Eielson. That is the best air-to-air combat training in the world, and the Marines want to be part of it.
You know, we're growing here. We have the two F-35 fighter wings, and then you just got the new tanker set coming up here.
Four tankers. I've been working on that one for a long time.
Yeah. We had some rival places they could be stationed,
well,
but you got them here.
I did get them here. That's four tankers, KC-135s, which we need more of.
Mm-hmm.
Because of these missions that our Air Force is doing to intercept the Russians and other missions like that, that's going to be over 200 airmen and their families here. So that's, again, that's great for the national security of our country, but it's great for the economy of Fairbanks and North Pole.
You know, it's a growing presence, and the construction of the facilities you have going on out at Eielson and Fort Wainwright are basically well needed just to maintain them in a good mental health and a good family relationship. You know, I go out there and I see the new things that are going on out there, and I remember the old. And I say, they're starting to be taken care of now. They really are.
We got, like I said, the biggest military buildup since World War II. It's billions.
Mm-hmm.
It's here at Fort Wainwright. It's a bunch more helicopters. As part of the 11th Airborne Division, it's, to your point, a bunch more facilities for what we call morale, welfare, recreation, in the military. And we had a really exciting announcement, again, just last week at UAF with a new innovative unit at the Pentagon called DIU. So DIU is the Defense Innovation Unit. What is that?
Like a think tank.
It's really exciting, and they're now partnering with UAF. So we had a big press conference at UAF just last week. So DIU is the part of the Pentagon that's saying, hey, there's all this new technology. There are these new, what they call defense tech firms that are creating all kinds of really important innovations for our military. They're taking place in places like where we have a big tech industry, places like Silicon Valley and Austin, Texas and Boston. What I've been saying is, DIU, you need to get up here at UAF because UAF's doing all this research on drones and missile defense and hypersonics, and we have a huge military build-out. We want to work with you guys to partner with the university and potentially develop private sector companies that can build out these kind of technologies. So that happened last week. DIU is now partnering with UAF. We had a great event. But our university here, particularly UAF, is on the cutting edge of so many new technologies that we need for our military, particularly drones and counter-drones, missile defense, critical minerals. So this is a new partnership. And I'll tell you this, David, every state in America wants DIU in their state because it's Pentagon money, it's Pentagon innovation, and now we got them, and it's great. Right. And they're here in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're going to give you some bumper music. I have no idea what it is because this is a recorded show. Then we're going to Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. And when we come back, we'll have Senator Sullivan. Fairbanks, welcome back. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Senator Dan Sullivan in the studio with me here. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, David.
You know, something that's not of the region of Fairbanks that is finally a big key component for, if not the state of Alaska, for the United States, is the construction and the basing of new Coast Guard cutters and icebreakers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and I've always thought to myself, how stupid are we not to have them up here?
Yeah.
This is where icebreakers go for America.
That's what you would think, right? But we've never actually had icebreakers where the ice is.
What a concept.
And now that's changing, which is great. And so, look, I always say, you know, we love the Coast Guard. I love the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard, however, and I think this can be a good thing and maybe not such a good thing, they kind of have this ethos, you know, similar to other military branches, certainly similar to the Marine Corps, which is kind of like, hey, don't worry, you know, we can suck it up. We have 50-year-old cutters. We have 60-year-old icebreakers that don't even work. We have 40-year-old helicopters. Don't worry, we can suck it up. Well, at a certain point, you can't suck it up.
Yeah.
Right? If your cutters are 50 years old, you need new cutters. Same with helicopters. So one thing I was proud of, because I led the effort in the Working Families Tax Cuts Act, and we've talked about that. That was the big bill last July that we passed that I like to call the Alaska Opportunity Act because it has so much for our state. And you and I have talked about it, David, but it's got a giant recapitalization of the Coast Guard, $25 billion recapitalization of the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard needed it. I chair the Coast Guard subcommittee in the Senate, and they needed these assets. What's in that bill? And again, this is money in the bank. We've already passed it. We've already appropriated for it. 22 new cutters, 16 new icebreakers, 40 new helicopters, $4.5 billion in shoreside infrastructure. A bunch of that is coming to the great state of Alaska.
Yeah.
So now it might not be coming to Fairbanks, but it's going to be.
That Chena River is a deadly, dangerous river. Come on. We need a cutter out there.
but it's coming to so many of our other communities, and
it's needed.
So needed. Yeah. At least three icebreakers.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. We've never, Alaska's never had an icebreaker home ported in our state, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. You know, you also look at that, and you look at the offshore interdiction that they have to do, and then you look at our fish crisis and how it might be able to help with that, you know, with piracy, fish piracy, yep. Stuff like that. Now, the fish issue is there's, as I always say, there's not one item that crashes a plane.
Yeah.
There's not one issue that crashes in a fish industry. Thoughts on it?
Sure. Well, listen, the Coast Guard plays a huge role in that. And just to finish up the Coast Guard, we're going to have three icebreakers home-ported in Alaska. One's definitely going to be in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
Two others, I just had a meeting with the Commandant of the Coast Guard just 2 days ago on where the Coast Guard is looking at other home ports for the other two icebreakers. And it's at least three. So it could be more. So that's great for the national security of America, but that's great for the communities in which they're going to be home ported. Right?
Yeah, and then you have the community of Kodiak. They have the largest Coast Guard base operational for the United States. So you know that they need more helicopters with their area.
100%.
Oh yeah,
100%. And look, they're getting more cutters for sure. Mm-hmm. They could be getting an icebreaker. Other communities potentially Seward, but there is a ton of new vessels coming to our communities throughout the state, and it's great for the national security of America. It's great for these communities. It's great for our state. It's great for the economy. So, but to your point, it's also really important for our fisheries. I had a bill recently passed called the Fish Act,
mm-hmm.
and this goes after exactly what you're talking about, pirate fishing,
mm-hmm.
what they call IUU fishing. It's illegal, unreported, unauthorized fishing. It's mostly China and Russia.
Figure that one.
They got these giant, what they call gray fleets. They ravage the ocean. Their trawlers destroy, sustainable stocks. And my bill, which passed the Senate, I've been working on this for years, is an aggressive action to sanction these guys, to have our Navy and Coast Guard go after them. This is a really good bill to start working, to building on what we've done. This is you mentioned fisheries. My team and I think we have the best fisheries team in the Congress. We've certainly passed more legislation to have healthy, sustainable fisheries, particularly as it relates to salmon in our rivers, up on the Yukon, on the Kuskokwim. I was also able to lead the effort to get the complete ban on the importation of all Russian seafood. They cheat. They don't let us export any of our fish to Russia. And now we are starting to do the same thing with Chinese fish, to ban them, prohibit them from coming into the United States. So we're very focused on it. I have a very comprehensive bill addressing this bycatch challenge. It's one of the many factors hurting our strong salmon runs. So my team and I, we focus a ton on fisheries. My Save Our Seas Act, again, passed into law, is the most comprehensive, sustainable fisheries ocean cleanup legislation ever passed by Congress. So that's a daily focus of ours to get what all Alaskans want, which is strong, healthy fisheries, salmon runs throughout our state. A lot of challenges in that regard, but we're very, very focused on it.
You know, 100 miles to 110 miles to the southeast of us, we have Fort Greely, and it has a missile interceptor range. Boeing, Raytheon, doing lots of stuff out there. But I think with the activities of the Iranians and their long-range missiles that no one knew about,
yeah,
boy, is that important.
Well, again, in the Working Families Tax Cuts Act, David, last year, in addition to what we got for the Coast Guard, what we got for Navy shipbuilding, we have a huge buildup for missile defense for mm-hmm. America. The Golden Dome, that's the new initiative, but it's the same thing we've been doing here in Fairbanks in the interior for decades. We are the cornerstone of missile defense for the entire country. There's yeah. no doubt about it. I love the 49th Missile Defense Battalion's motto right there at Fort Greely, the 300 protecting the 300 million.
Yeah.
It's like the modern-day Spartans.
Yeah.
And that's true, right? That's where all the ground-based missile interceptors protecting the whole country are right at Fort Greely. All the radar systems, the ground-based ones, are at Clear. They're out on the Aleutian Island chain. So we are building that up. And again, that will be hundreds of millions of new military construction in the interior because we are so important when it comes to America's missile defense. And to your point, that issue is becoming more and more important for the safety of the whole country. It's not just what they call ballistic missiles, it's hypersonics, it's mm-hmm. cruise missiles. And we are the avenue of approach. If an adversary wants to hit the lower 48, they almost all have to fly over Alaska, and that's why we're so strategically important.
Yeah, it's boy, it's something else, and you know, you just can't invest enough money in it. And again, you know, our drone program up here, what they're doing, bringing the DIU
yeah.
into it, it's all
cutting edge.
Yeah, and then
right here at UAF, it's yeah. really great. So people should be really proud of that.
Then. You had President Reagan, President Reagan, my other favorite president, President Trump, 4 years ago takes as a branch and he creates the Space Force.
Yeah.
And he was mocked for it. And now they're looking at him saying, this is pretty brilliant. You know, you go out to Clear Space Force.
And that's expanding.
Vandenberg Space Force.
Yep.
You know, so he's put a definition between what an Air Force is. What a Space Force is.
You know, I think that was a really important innovation. To be honest, when that was initially came out during President Trump's first term, I was skeptical. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff called me, Joe Dunford, who was a Marine, mm-hmm. Marine infantry officer. Super well-respected. He called me, Senator, I know you have some skepticism. Let me walk you through why we need this. And yeah. I think nobody disagrees with it now. There's so much going on in the space domain.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And I'll tell you this, the Russians and Chinese are already there.
Yeah.
And there's this whole idea, hey, we can't militarize space. Well,
that's already
late.
Happened. Yeah.
And if we're kind of going to be naive enough to say, we're not going to be up there when our adversaries already are. That's just going to undermine our national security. So the Space Force is up and running, and they're doing very well, and they're here in Alaska.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Again, this is a pre-recorded show. We're not taking any phone calls. Senator Sullivan and I will be back after these messages. Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Dan Sullivan in the studio with me here. You've been in the Senate now, finishing up your second term.
Yes, sir.
It goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Honored to serve.
You know, the person you took over from, I felt sorry for him because he had Harry Reid, the president of the Senate, wouldn't let him do anything.
Wouldn't let him do anything.
He was, you know, a Democrat who just hated Alaska.
Yep.
Can't do anything up there.
That's kind of the M.O. for the D.C. Democrats.
Yeah,
so, they really,
you know,
don't like our state.
Chuck Schumer can't do anything up there.
Chuck Schumer is the most anti-Alaska senator in American history.
How is your campaign going? You know, I see all the stuff that they're trying to say your vote increased the kill the Oscar up to $1,800. No. Stop, everyone.
Yeah.
10, 12 years ago, when Obamacare came out, my insurance went from $350 a month to $1,400 a month.
Yep.
That's when it happened. Remember the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, it wasn't affordable.
Keep your health care, you know, not going to be cheaper. Boondoggle.
Well, look, I'm very focused on, you know, getting big things done for our state. And we just talked about we're getting a lot of important things done. The energy renaissance, the military buildup, historic. You know, we have enormous things we're getting done in terms of aviation safety, in terms of this healthcare transformation fund that's the biggest investment in Alaskan healthcare by the federal government in history, that we can design our own healthcare system. We got challenges, David, and there's no doubt. But, you know, we're very focused on continuing to, as I mentioned, get things done for our state. You know, the campaign is, I think it's going well. I will tell you, to me, when you talk about campaigns, I like to talk about them in terms of your record.
Yeah. Or
right?
Lack
so
thereof.
One thing about, you know, I'm proud of my record. As I mentioned, the Working Families Tax Cuts Act, has enormous things for our state across the board in so many different areas, and especially in terms of, you know, putting more money in the pocket for working families and Alaskans from tax breaks and our seniors. You know, when you're in campaign season, you can talk a little bit about, I'm proud of the fact that I'm consistently ranked as one of the top senators in terms of getting bills,
yeah,
Pat,
across the finish line,
over the goal line, signed into law. Last year, I had the most of any senator. I'm usually, you know, ranked in the top five. I think I've had over 60 bills passed into law, and Alaskans expect that. And think about it, Ted Stevens, Don Young. Let's just say my opponent, two terms in Congress. That's not. Her record, never got a bill passed. And but I think it's more important.
It was worse than that. Come on now.
Well, I'm not going to pound right now.
Okay.
I can let others do that. But that's a big contrast, right?
Yeah.
But the bigger contrast, you know, the record is important. But people want forward-looking ideas. It's your vision for the future. And this is where, again, there's a huge contrast. The vision for the future for Alaska, especially in D.C., there's a clear split. Republicans want to empower us, create jobs, create resource development opportunities, rebuild our military, protect the Second Amendment. I mean, and the Democrats want the complete opposite. The entire Democratic Party in D.C., which is driven by the left wing, the far left, one of their core principles, David, in D.C., core principle is to shut down Alaska when they get into power. That was the Biden last frontier lockup, the 70 executive orders. It's the Schumer shutdown that we were talking about early. The guy goes out of his way to crush our state, kill jobs, thousands of jobs, disparage and go after Alaska Native corporations, a huge long record of doing that. And literally, and again, we have it on our website, hundreds of votes against
Alaska,
our great state. So the vision of the different parties it's not conjecture, it's fact. When Democrats are in power, especially the Democrats in the Senate, when they have power, Alaska is on the menu, and they want to crush us, eat us, whatever the analogy is. When Republicans are in power, whether it's in the White House, in the Senate, in the House, they want to lift us up. That's why we're having this North Slope Renaissance. That's why we're making progress on the gas line. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. So, you know, my opponent will have to answer a question if she's elected, which she won't be. Why would she want to empower Schumer to be majority leader? That is the difference in terms of the vision. What good would that guy do to help us? We know the answer is no good. He won't help us at all. So, but the other thing about, and I'm sure you've seen it, elections is resources. And this is, to be perfectly blunt, I don't like acknowledging challenges, but this is where we'll be challenged. The Democrats, I'm sure you've seen these ads. They've been running ads, negative ads against me since July. And they're kind of all over the place.
July, 2025.
Yeah, almost a year. and it's, look, we know where that money's coming from. It's the most far-left groups in America. It's George Soros. It's Schumer. I mean, it's the radical lefties of the lefties.
The L.A. Basin or east of the Mississippi.
Well, and what it is, like we have a saying in the Marine Corps, if you're taking flak, which I'm taking a lot of flak, you know you're over the target, right? They don't like me because we're getting big things done, particularly on resource development, on rebuilding our military. These groups do not like our military, I can tell you
that.
They do
not like America.
They don't. I mean, Soros, Schumer, they're not just anti-Alaska. In my view, they're anti-America. But look, it's a challenge, right? We've been taking a lot of incoming with these negative ads. People ask me, hey, Dan, who are these people? Why are they running so many negative ads? And it's because they think Schumer can become majority leader by flipping the seat. It's not my seat, by the way. It's the Alaskan people's seat. But that money translates also to my opponent. You may have seen first quarter, she raised $9 million. Mm-hmm. $9 million. That is a number that's just unheard of in Alaska. Now, 99% of that is from lower 48 liberal billionaires.
Is she going to spend it like Kamala did?
She already is spending it. She spent $3 million out of the $9 million. I think we saw on her record she's hired over 20 staffers in Alaska.
Yeah.
They're all from New York City. They have no idea about our state. They want to shut us down too. I think they're each getting paid like $120K. I think her campaign might be the biggest liberal lower 48 jobs program in history, right?
It's helping unemployment.
It's helping unemployment in liberal cities because they're coming up here to. So if you're a Fairbanksian and you have a New York City girl or woman or guy, canvassing you, you might want to ask them, hey, where are you from? Do you really want to shut down Anwar and kill NPRA? Like, go back to New York City, hang out with Chuck Schumer. But look, in all seriousness, you know, that's going to be a challenge. That much money, we're going to be outspent. Like, I'm always outspent. I was outspent in 2014. I was hugely outspent, you might remember, in 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, my opponent had 3-1 more money than we did. And we'll be outspent this one, maybe even worse than that.
Nature of the beast of being on the right side of the equation.
But here's what we have. Resources are also not just money from liberal billionaire Hollywood guys, which is what my opponent's campaign is being fueled by. But resources are also the people, right? And we have the people because we have the ideas. What I've been talking about here, these aren't Republican ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, opening NPRA for jobs, for our great union workers here, and all that, as you mentioned, all that pipe comes through Fairbanks. You know, building our military to strengthen UAF. These aren't Republican ideas. These are Alaskan ideas. These are American ideas. And this is where we are, and this is the difference in vision that I mentioned, and I think that's going to be the difference.
You know what room we're in right now in this building? It was your mother-in-law, your late great mother-in-law's bookkeeping room for the business.
For the business.
Yeah.
What a great woman she was.
And you married Mary Jane. You married a lady from Fairbanks, and you came back to Fairbanks. Did the clerking up here for law.
For the great Judge Kleinfeld, by the way. We miss him and Judy.
Then you made a term, you made a decision to move to Alaska with your wife's family back up here.
Love it.
And then you stayed. You know, you're the attorney general. So how often does a person say, okay, look it, you're an attorney general, but you're more important being in charge of the natural resources, commissioner of natural resources. How often does that happen?
Well,
it
look,
doesn't. It hasn't, but you did it. And that's maybe why you know the resources of the state of Alaska for the federal government better than anyone.
Well, look, it's a great opportunity. You might remember when I was DNR commissioner, we put out this big vision. Again, vision matters. Where do you want to take the state? Where do you want to take America? My vision is very different from the Schumer-Biden vision that they want for Alaska. And we had a vision, you might remember that at that time, David, of 1 million barrels a day in taps.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you did X, Y, and Z, and you had a federal government that was helpful, not trying to shut you down. Well, I'm proud to say when DNR put out its recent projection for like 2033, 2034, on the high end, it wasn't for sure they're going to hit it, but they said the potential by 2034, I think it was, is to hit like 950,000 barrels a day.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what vision's about. It's also what hard work is about. And, you know, my team and I, we're going to work really, really hard. We do work hard. And you know why we do that? Because Alaskans work hard.
Yeah.
That's the ethos in our great state. Working hard, tough, putting points on the board. But, yeah, that was the vision. A lot of people poo-pooed that. Sure, Dan. We'll never get to 1 million barrels a day. As a matter of fact, the radical left in D.C. wants to shut down the pipeline. So, again, another difference. You want to shut down the pipeline or do you want to get back to 1 million barrels a day? I know where I want to be, and that's the side of the Alaskan people.
Senator Sullivan, thank you very much for being able to come in and tape this interview. So appreciative of what you do, how you do it, and why you do it. You take care.
You too, David. Yep, great. We'll see you tonight.
In Fairbanks. It's a Saturday, but I'll see you on Tuesday. You have a great day.